pick it out. I grimace. You can't know that 100%. I contend and slip the black band on my ring finger. I do know that 100%, Pharaoh says, because I know you 100%. Our last day in Greece has snuck up on us, and Pharaoh and I have left the yacht to spend the night in Corfu, alone together, both of us soaking in the peaceful quiet before we return to a media frenzy in Philly. We're not hiding our engagement. So when we're back home, whatever paparazzi presence existed before may be infinitely larger, more aggressive, invasive, we don't know. Because I'm the first to be engaged out of my siblings and cousins. I'm paving the way. But not even the media can deter my brain from replaying the proposal. It's on a loop. And I remember how my whole family and SFO joined us at the lagoon. Pharaoh asked them to hike the same trail about 30 minutes after us, and I had no clue. Janie, my best friend, ma moitié, when she saw me, she had her hand to her heart like she could feel mine swelling. Having all of them there was everything. Warm water rains down on me in a stone shower, made to look outdoors with a fogged skylight, but I'm inside our hotel bathroom, private, as safe as it can be, and I'm not scared. My muscles slacken with the warmth and gathering steam. I stand right beneath the downpour, my bare skin flush from the heat. I rub soap on my abs, picturing Pharaoh coming in behind me, my number one fantasy. I go lower with the washcloth, hot breath ejecting from me. And hanging up the cloth on a hook, I rest my left hand on the stone slab wall. Whatever I plan to do suddenly flits away, because the black ring on that hand is staring back at me. I'm wearing his ring. My eyes burn. And then I hear the shower door swing open. In my peripheral, I see that it's him, so I don't turn back around. I wait, and his 6'3" build pushes warmly up against me. God, this is real. His arm curves around my abs, chest melded firmly to my back. I stare straight ahead. I feel Pharaoh, his left arm extending across the top of my arm, and he interlaces our fingers on the stone slab wall, his hand sheathing my hand. Our rings on our fingers are in perfect sight together. Pharaoh presses a burning kiss to my shoulder blade, and as his other hand descends to a place of need and want, his mouth travels to my ear. In my fantasy, I never hear what he whispers. He knows this is what I wouldn't let myself dream of. And as he kisses the nape of my neck, the line of my jaw, I wait and wait, and softly, so damn softly and huskily, Pharaoh whispers, "I love you." Light bursts in me, and I spin on him. Our hands instantly grip each other in starved yearning. We kiss like we haven't kissed in eons. Heat blistered and raw, we wrestle in the shower for the lead. And goddamn, we're both smiling. 39. Maximoff Hale. News of our engagement has spread like a tornado ripping through flatlands. No houses destroyed yet, but damage control mode is still alive, just as a precaution. Too many tabloids, magazines, entertainment sites have contacted our reps, inquiring about front page spreads, interviews, photo ops. Everyone is seeking the first exclusive pictures, videos, anything. And they've all received the same automatic reply from our publicist. Maximoff and Pharaoh are enjoying their engagement and would like to remain private at this time. Thank you for understanding. I'm currently focused on rebuilding strength in my right shoulder, all without overexerting, without pushing too far and tearing my body to fucking pieces. Hence, working out with my childhood crush, my bodyguard, my doctor, my fiancé, all Pharaoh Redford Keene. He has strike pads on both of his hands, hoisting them up to me. I jab the pad with my left fist, protected by a red boxing glove. Sun shines through the full-length glass windows in Uncle Reich's gym, heating the space. It's pretty much why I'm sweating, because there's no way my slow pace alone could warrant me soaking through my shirt.
How did that feel?
Pharaoh asks me as I gear up to do a right cross. Fine. I think I can try harder without killing my muscle. I go for a right cross with my right arm, and I end up lightly tapping the pad, listening to my body. The stretch alone pulls my tendons taut.
Sore? He asks.
Not at all, I say, sarcasm thick. I could without a doubt take you in a boxing ring. Let's go, right now.
That's an adorable fantasy,
Pharaoh says. I growl into a groan. Pharaoh smiles, too amused.
How about we come back to reality?
He motions me to ready myself.
Put your gloves up to your chin.
I follow the instruction, and Pharaoh spreads out the strike pads for me to do a hook combination. Before I even swing, the glass door opens. I drop my arms, and we both turn to see my little brother. Xander is in gym shorts and a t-shirt that says winter is coming. Shock coils in me, surprised he's here.
Hey,
Xander says, hair hanging in his eyes.
I got your text.
He almost never works out with me. But every time I'm at the gym, I try to always invite him along. He usually brushes it off. Him putting in this effort, whether it's for me or himself, I don't care. He's here. That's all that matters. You're here to work out? I ask him.
I mean, yeah,
he says. His eyes dance across the equipment.
What do you suggest?
You should start on the bag, Pharaoh tells him, nodding to the boxing bag that my uncle hung up a couple weeks ago. Here.
Pharaoh takes off his pads and grabs a pair of black cloth wraps that hang on the wall.
I'll wrap your hands.
Xander follows Pharaoh's instructions to hold out his hands. Palms down, and Pharaoh crisscrosses the wrap, weaving the cloth between his fingers. I swing my right arm in a pendulum stretch while I wait. My little brother glances from Pharaoh to me.
So have you guys decided on when you're having the wedding?
Pharaoh's eyes lift to me and then his brows rise.
We have.
We're doing a long engagement, I tell Xander. We discussed it at length, and it seems like the best idea to wait for the public and media attention to die down before we have a wedding. There will still be chaos, but I figure if we give it some time, there's a greater chance someone else in my family will take the spotlight for a little while. I just would really love a wedding that isn't crashed by helicopters and drones.
I figured, Xander replies.
Pharaoh finishes with his hand wraps, and then tosses a pair of boxing gloves to him.
We'll start with an easy combination.
I watch as my future husband teaches my little brother how to box. He keeps glancing at me, a smile inching across his mouth. He knows how much I love him, how much I love this. And I think about what Pharaoh once told me. It's the little things. It really is.
40. Pharaoh Keen. The We Are Callaway rap party is held at an artsy studio in Center City, and I've been to one of these before on Lily's security detail. Never as Maximoff's bodyguard, and definitely not as a face featured in the docuseries. This is new for me, and I keep catching myself taking in this different vantage point. A few months' time, Redford, and we're all going to watch your smug ass on TV. Oscar tells me, all of SFO congregating around a few wooden high-top tables we shoved together. Plates of finger food and non-alcoholic drinks cover the surface. We're all on duty. I wondered how being a bodyguard again would work, how the guys would handle me coming back after I willingly quit. That same day in Greece, during the sandcastle contest, the news was announced. And then all of SFO pushed me in the motherfucking sea, in jest. Akara knew what was happening way before. Apparently the Triforce had talked to Lo in advance, and he would have never offered me the spot if they said no. Akara told me they were unanimous in favor of bringing me back. I didn't need to know why the security team would want me. I just figure it's easier to have me on the team than a new hire. It's what Thatcher said a while back. Trust is invaluable with these families, and they trust me a hell of a lot. Enough to let me marry into American royalty. I prop my boot on the rung of a stool that Donnelly sits on. Most of us are standing, and I tell Oscar, "You can watch my smug ass in real life. Already accomplished." Oscar dips a fry in ketchup. A long, long buffet table spans an entire brick wall. Invite-only guests amble around the open space, mixed drinks and beers in hand. The food isn't the main attraction. Cameras and lighting equipment point at a white backdrop. See, these rap parties are always half cocktail hour and half photo shoot. The famous ones have to take promotional shots for the premium cable network's digital apps. You don't want us to watch your episodes? Akara asks, giving me a weird look.
Eh.
I waver my hand. Being honest, I don't give a shit. Did you embarrass yourself? Oscar asks. Bro, I told you not to talk about serious shit with the parents on camera. It happened, I say truthfully, picking up a whole apple off my plate. Connor was offered a condom sponsorship. I let that out, trusting these guys, and also that footage with Connor is going to be aired. Banks laughs hard. Cobalt condoms. Donnelly flips a page in a gossip magazine. Magnum size only. For the wealthy man, Oscar chimes in. Nah, I'd want to buy some, Donnelly notes. I whistle. These are definitely fictional condoms when Donnelly thinks he can fit into a Magnum. Everyone laughs. Donnelly blows me a middle finger kiss, and I won't tell anyone but Maximoff, at least not to the full degree, but I miss these guys. Shit, like I really miss them. In ways that I didn't think I would or even could. I glance at Donnelly, who dog-ears the magazine. We should make a drinking game out of the docuseries, he says, his Philly lilt thick. Every time you roll your eyes, we take a shot. Akara shakes his head, a water bottle to his lips. Too many shots. How about you all just not watch the show? I say casually. Donnelly laughs like that's an absurd idea. Thatcher says, that was the plan. See, listen to Thatcher, I tell everyone and bite into my red apple. He sends me a narrowed look, not understanding why I'm agreeing with him. Let's make this clear. He agreed with me first. I watch his gaze drift to the camera setup. Right now, a photographer takes various shots of Maximoff and Jane together. She rests her freckled cheek on his shoulder, and he has a protective arm around her waist. Their relationship intact means a ton to me. And the fact that I didn't destroy that good thing and I still got the man, the love, and everything in between, there are no words for what I feel, because happy doesn't seem powerful enough. Donnelly hunches forward on the stool and clears his throat. Reading from the magazine he's holding. With the wedding on the horizon, you can expect interest in Maximoff and Pharaoh's relationship to escalate in the coming months. I hone in on how they called me Pharaoh and not just Maximoff's fiancé or Maximoff's boyfriend, and the Alphas Like Us articles stopped referring to me as the new boyfriend, and they've started printing my name too. Either this means that the world sees me as a human being or as someone worthy enough to be attached to Maximoff by name. Possibly both. And I'll definitely take both. Donnelly rotates the tabloid sideways and reads on. They're the current it couple, and it's going to take something huge to change that. He looks at me with seriousness. Want me to do something huge? No, fuck no. SFO may have a modicum of fame, but the spotlight on me is much brighter and blinding. Being with Maximoff, I've learned to not let that shit get to me. Don't fear it. Don't run away from it. Don't fight it. Instead, I hang on to the bright side and just live every day with him. Standing beside Donnelly, Quinn peers at the tabloid and points at a page. Damn, Jane's on the worst dress list again. Thatcher pulls the magazine out of Donnelly's grip and tosses it in the nearby trash. No one should be reading that here. He retrains his attention on the photo shoot. Donnelly mouths to me, grumpy. That's one word for it. I bite into my apple. Oscar eats a fry and nods to me. Fiancé's looking at you. Fiancé. That word rushes into me. I've always wanted to be married one day, and each morning I wake up next to him, I'm still overcome with a simple fact. I'm going to marry Maximoff Hale, the love of my life. I chew slowly, my lips upturning. I know, I say. He still does that. Gradually, I turn around and pool all my attention onto Maximoff. He's alone, standing in front of the white backdrop, dressed in jeans and a gray crew neck. He's waiting for the photographer to fix his camera settings, maybe even for a few other cousins to appear. I'm not sure who's up next in the photo lineup. And despite all the hell we've been through, Maximoff looks and stands like an unshakable force of nature, ready to weather any squall because he's as powerful as the storm. Fuck, I can't take my eyes off him. And I smile into my next bite of apple, watching his forest greens try not to melt over me. The photographer shouts, "Can we get Lauren and Reich in here?" Lo and Reich leave their high-top table where they'd been chatting with their wives, and both men easily and assuredly join Maximoff. Lo is on his right, Reich on his left, and the three look straight into the camera, severity in their gazes, because the paternity issues surrounding the three of them aren't amusing or lighthearted. And for the most part, We Are Calloway hits serious tones all the way through. The studio seems to quiet, more people compelled to look at them. Not because of the paternity rumors. Everyone invited here knows that's bullshit. It's how striking and domineering they are side by side by side. And Maximoff doesn't look confrontational or angry. He looks proud to be standing between his dad and his uncle. And Maximoff, pure wholehearted Maximoff, can't even see how Lo and Reich look even prouder to be next to him.
Incoming, Banks says,
and our heads turn as Sullivan Meadows weaves around a few tables, dark hair splayed over the shoulders of her jean jacket. She's aiming for SFO, for this table, for Akara. We can all tell, even if she doesn't realize it.
She's hesitating,
Quinn narrates as Sully pauses, turns slightly, fingers to her lips. Akara sets down his water bottle, brows furrowing. The two of them have been doing this concerned, worried for each other dance since their fight at the stair climb. It's a little intense, even for bodyguards.
And she's exiting,
Banks says, just as Sully swerves around and rushes away from SFO.
I'll be a sec.
Akara detaches from our spot and chases after Sully, and when he's at well out of earshot, we all turn back to the table and look at each other.
Oscar says, either Kitsuan is in denial about his feelings for that girl, or he's playing all of us.
Denial, most of us say, because Akara is adamant that they're just friends, not in the excessive way to cover a lie, in a peeved, fuck-off way.
She's back, Donnelly says off of the appearance of Luna Hale.
Only he's referring to the green marker on her cheeks, the blue-painted eyebrows and graphic tee. She makes a Spock symbol at the camera, and she looks genuinely lighter, happier. She dumped Andrew last week, and she told her big brother that her and this guy just wanted different things. I smile into my next bite of apple.
Good for you, Luna.
Anyone read the story she posted online yesterday?
Oscar asks the table. A few days ago, she gave SFO her secret username so we could read her fix. Honestly, I haven't had time to delve into that rabbit hole yet.
Donnelly bites into a potato skin. The one with the blue alien goddess and the glittery king of stars?
He licks sour cream off his finger. Oscar nods heartily.
I give it a C+, too many tentacles.
Donnelly shrugs. I thought it was pretty good.
I'm not even going to ask or open that Pandora's box. The photographer bobs up from the camera and searches the studio for someone. And then his eyes land on me.
Pharaoh!
The photographer waves me over and he's already called Maximoff back to the plain white backdrop. I place my bitten apple back on the plate.
Donnelly says, go get him.
Make us proud.
Oscar pats my back. I spin and walk backwards just to say, take notes, boys. They slow clap and I let out a short laugh. Heading over to my fiancé, who stands alone on a white backdrop, and I've been craving to be by his side, even when he's facing a camera. I reach the set, my black boots thudding on the hard floor. Our eyes never shift off each other, never deter, and no one tells me to unhook my radio or remove my gun. I'm where I want to be, need to be, and should be. And there's nothing that could possibly feel more comfortable, more perfect than that. Maximoff and I draw together, instinctively, longingly. His chest presses to my chest, and his hand warms my neck. My palm ascends to the back of his head, threading his thick hair between inked fingers. And if I thought the studio quieted when he was with his dad and uncle, then it falls to silence for us. Maximoff isn't cautious or worried. His lips inch upward.
You're in my world.
He's excited about that. I nod a few times. It's a good thing I love your world, Wolf Scout, and that your world is mine. That gets to us both. Instantly, we bring our mouths together in a scorching, slow-burning kiss. In our embrace, there is no fear or uncertainty. There is only peace and overwhelming pride, and we bask in this second, this simple moment of our beautiful lives.
Epilogue. 1 month later. Maximov Hale. The smell of chlorine overpowers the indoor pool. Three-year-old and four-year-old kids with inflatable wings on their arms are blowing bubbles in the water. I wade in the shallow pool. Go, go, I encourage. Hannah, you're doing amazing. Really good, everyone. A metal whistle hangs around my neck, and I take a quick glance at the wall clock. I blow my whistle. All right, that's it for today, I tell them. Everyone did awesome. You all look like Olympians. I high-five the kids, and Farah slaps my hand three times with a giddy smile. The kids paddle to the edge of the pool, and I help a straggler onto the cement. Parents start pouring out from the upstairs viewing room. When all the kids are collected, I pull myself out of the pool, water dripping down. Banks Moretti chills out on a plastic chair beside the door, earpiece in and radio on his waistband. He gives me a nod in greeting, and I wave back. After the Greece trip, he requested to be on my detail. The Moretti brothers have been in contact less ever since Thatcher became Jane's bodyguard. And with this switch-up, Banks and Thatcher will see each other more, because I'm around Janie all the time. I start collecting the inflatables and water wings that the kids left behind, tossing them into a plastic bin. When I asked the local aquatic center if I could teach the beginner class, I expected to be denied. This job, it's achingly normal. Not something meant for a guy like me. But they said yes. So I became certified, and I'm already on my second week here, and I can see another week, another month. I can see a future where I'm teaching little kids how to swim and build some kind of courage, face their fears, jump in and paddle, take a breath and float. I learned how to swim around their age, and I like to think about how a few of these kids could grow up and fall in love with the sport. Everything about it feels right. The heavy pool door opens, and the outdoor sunlight illuminates the dimmed space. Pharaoh slips inside, and the clunk of the closing door echoes inside the aquatic center. Before Pharaoh sees me, Banks stands up and greets him. I pull out a chemical kit from the closet, and when I return, Banks is gone. Pharaoh attaches his radio to his belt, clips his mic to his V-neck, and fits his earpiece in. He was called in to check up on my little sister. I don't ask him for details. Patient confidentiality and all that. But Kenny already texted me that she's bedbound with the flu. Back on Maximov Hale duty, I tell him. Your favorite. Pharaoh steps over an orange swim noodle. You are going to be my husband, Wolf Scout. Let's hope you're my favorite. His husband. His lips lift, knowing what that fucking does to me. Yeah, I'm never going to get over Pharaoh. And I don't have to. In two more strides, we close the distance, and our arms curve around each other. Pharaoh looks deep into me, and he asks, What are you thinking, Wolf Scout? I smile. Dear world, thanks for listening. Love, Maximov Hale.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Alphas Like Us. Written by Krista Ritchie and Becca Ritchie. Performed by Alexander Sandis and J.F. Harding. Executive producers Susie Bright and Mike Charzik. Producer Neil Basic. Copyright 2018 by K.B. Ritchie. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.